Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I'm Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and my beloved co-host and dear friend, as Josh and I call him, right, Josh? Michael Stevens of Maryland is on air. And finally, we have the legendary Josh Huff, one of his dear friends.
What's
again, and his, I don't know if Josh like to be called a personal trainer or not. What's your title? Because you seem so much deeper than a personal trainer.
Yeah, I'm a little ambiguous. I guess I could go for wellness coach.
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes. I like that samurai. What is it, Huff?
Samurai Huff. Yeah.
You call yourself. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a
but thank you for joining us. We would devote a second. Oh, but I love it. I mean, it's so empowering. Thank you for joining us to talk about life and what's on your mind. We love to discuss what's on our minds and hot topics and breaking stories. And this is the first Self-Care Sunday also. So you're pretty much kicking off series regarding Self-Care Sunday and how important it is to take care of ourselves. Happy spring break to everybody that's celebrating spring break also. And spring will be here next week on our beloved Michael's birthday. Michael's birthday is next Sunday. If you didn't know, Josh and listeners, so his birthday and the anniversary, the 11th anniversary of the show is the following day on the 21st.
Awesome.
But it's spring break and some people are celebrating the sun, some in the snow, so enjoy your spring break wherever you are in the world. Well, we're on, excuse me, hopefully I can turn that off. Trying to turn that off, hopefully it'll stop soon.
Okay.
Hopefully that doesn't happen again. Yeah, thank you. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. So because we're on that spiritual level. So when we're flowing, I don't like to be interrupting. I try not to interrupt others. So you're part of the family. We're all family, and Michael and I, we get so excited, and we often talk about you also. So whatever is on your mind, let's talk about it. There are breaking news, sending prayers out to Ukraine, also to, of course, here in America, because we're the leader of the free world. So sending love and prayers out. That's what's on my heart and my. That's what's on my heart and mind. And I noticed you post about that also. There's a new variant out there called the Delta Crone, I hear. So they're watching that, but they've been watching it since the late fall. So hopefully it's harmless as cases are declining. And royal watcher. So I just want to put in something that I notice Prince Harry would not be going to his late grandfather's memorial on March the 29th. So I wanted to throw that out there because we have international listeners also, and I have been a royal watcher since I was a little girl. So he would not be attending his grandfather's, the late Prince Philip's memorial on March the 29th. So I put out there what's on my mind, even though it's a lot more, but you are the guest of honor, and I know Michael always have a lot on his mind.
Yes, indeed. Now, yeah, I mean, this the Ukrainian stuff is definitely been pushing me to some emotional edges, even though I'm not really directly experiencing it. We're all kind of, I don't know, it's easy to feel helpless in that situation, and for some reason you feel helpless even watching it, because you know at this moment there's nothing that you can do to change it, really, and that's kind of the difficult part. about putting so much power and trust into these quote unquote world leaders or politicians. Really, it's just their decisions get out of control, and we're the ones who suffer the residual, you know. And we're lucky to be here in America, where most things are a little bit better than most countries. But it's just, you know, history repeats itself in different places. So it's just very kind of difficult to watch unfold in front of your eyes, you know.
Yes, it's very difficult. I mean, I had no idea that the president of Russia, Putin, was that evil. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, he cannot be. And now he has really proven it. I mean, I just,
okay.
that is crazy. But you made a good point about the leaders. I think in a way, what you just mentioned about the faith we put into the world leaders, where most of us, or some of us, put into the world leaders, I believe that might be his point he's trying to make against NATO. I mean, he stated that. That's the point. That's his point. You all can't tell me what to do. You can't charge me this price for certain things. But why take it out on innocent, beautiful country as Ukraine?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's devastating. right. It's like, okay, I'm going to show you all.
Yeah, and at what cost, you know? I mean, I know they have a pipeline that goes through Ukraine for oil, and from what I've gathered, it's a huge, you know, key turning point in the reason why they're invading. Obviously, there's a little egoic battle, as there always is with politicians, but, you know, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, it's contradictory, because why would you go into a country with just abundant natural resources? It's one of the largest countries in Europe in general, and he's just bombing it and blowing it up and just basically soiling the grounds and the beauty of it, because he wants whatever they have, or he wants free travel for his pipeline to get his oil to Russia. There's so many different variables that it's hard to sometimes piece it all together and really figure out, like, why in the hell is he doing this? Because for us, it all seems so pointless.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just heartbreaking to see people of all ages just, you know, life just flipped over in a matter just instantly. And to see babies and pregnant mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers and families pulled apart.
Yeah.
And students and people that work there. You know, I'm in Mississippi, and there's many people that work there and many missionaries there from Mississippi that, you know, they're just devastated. And then there are students here. Michael, there's a student here at Mississippi College in Clinton who will be graduating this year, and family and parents and all had, I guess they're escaping, are refugees now.
Wow. But one thing that has been on my mind lately is what's going on down in Florida and Texas, especially Don't Say Gay Bill. I mean, like, it's really scary. And what I call it is the Republican or conservative vendetta. That's what I call it. Because I think it all stems from when Biden won and Trump lost. And now Republicans are doing not I don't want to say you, you know, but I don't want you to take offense because I know you.
It is embarrassing. It is embarrassing for open-minded and people that, like myself, who are bipartisan and believe in working together.
Yeah, and you know, today I got into, like, I got really angry today because some loon on Facebook was posting, you know, I'm getting tired of seeing the gay agenda or something. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, you act like every person that's gay wants to mess with you, or, you know, it's just like, what are you hiding something from, you know? Like,
right.
It's just sad how much ignorance there is, and
exactly.
I, Yeah, and I foresee myself having to go to a few protests by this summer if things don't change up. So, but I'm just kind of worried, you know, with the voter suppression and the, you know, just lack of diversity that certain people in the GOP are trying to push.
Right. Right. It is crazy. You're right, because I am a big LGBTQ advocate, and like you and I talked about film festivals, and you know I work with the Crossroads Film Festivals, and I'm a big supporter of films being shown at our festivals, which we have a very good market.
And Bethany, I've been asked.
Well, are you gay? You know, you cannot be a straight person and support. I mean, if not for the LGBTQ community, it might not even. I mean, I love the LGBT community. So, I mean,
Bethany,
it's like, oh, we're family. They're family.
Bethany, you want to know something? You want to know something, Bethany?
Yes. I always do.
You know, Josh,
you.
I think Josh, he was actually in a movie not too long ago. Right, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, some film projects, yeah.
Yeah, I saw some of it, but, you know, I always said that Josh was a good actor, you know, so.
Great.
You know, so
I see he and his lady are terrific models.
Yes,
yeah.
They are.
Thank you.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love him.
I'm taking a break from all that. Yeah, man, he's awesome. That's my baby. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's curious what's going on in the world. I feel like people are getting to the point where we don't know our left foot from our right foot. Just because tradition's trying to latch on while the world's trying to change, you know. And I think that's a huge internal and external crisis and conflict for a lot of people. It's very difficult to navigate because when tradition times is going on, it's a heavy grip. You know what I mean? So you know when we have all these, not to say that all quote unquote old people are the same, but a certain era of individuals,
right.
You know, tend to have you know viewpoints and things that are just extremely outdated. They're kind of ignorant of the complexities of the modern world, and they want to cling to something that never worked. And only serves a purpose for a very few amount of people. You know what I mean? So it's just we're in the area
and a good
of
example,
continually backlashing against that.
A good example is what's going on in Texas. You know, with the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thing that pisses me off so much about abortion is that you have a bunch of 60, 70, 80 year old men trying to tell a woman.
It's going on here in Mississippi.
Yeah, and telling people, women, what to do with their bodies. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What if she got raped? You know, what if you know, she found like she wasn't ready to have a child, and you telling her,
didn't Mississippi just pass a bill saying something like if it's there's a kind of birth where the embryo actually starts to form outside of the uterus, and they banned abortions against that. I don't know if it was Mississippi or another state. But I read that policy,
and
I was like, if a baby's growing outside the uterus, like, that's fatal. That's fatal.
Right. Yes. Yes, and then you can't be more, just like Texas, you cannot be past, like, 16 weeks. And it's only one abortion clinic here, and it's not too far from me. It's in a popular artsy community called Fondren, and it's one abortion clinic. And what's been happening in Mississippi regarding trying to stop that act, if it overturns here, if they here, they say it's really going to affect Roe versus Wade. When that happened in Texas, fuel the flame. Here in Mississippi, politicians and people have traveled from around the world on both sides, and it became pretty crazy a couple of months ago when we had the antis and the pros. Yeah, it was crazy. I stayed in that day too.
It's gonna be,
I'm like,
yeah,
woo,
it's
getting crazy. And then everyone went to D.C. Yeah, and so they said more summer. So we will see. But yeah, women, we should have the right. We should have the right. And then they didn't pass a law. I'm like, we need a female governor soon. Maybe I need to run. This past week, they didn't pass like a Medicaid bill that mothers cannot extend their 2 months of keeping Medicaid after childbirth to a year, which that should have been easily decided to extend it to a year. Because they said that would help decrease mortalities, because many mothers, as many don't realize, pass away after giving birth.
Yeah.
And that's very important to extend that. And that's important for your whole family also, that the mother has proper care. So I thought that was crazy right there. I'm like, that should have been easily passed. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that don't make any sense at all. But again, it just comes down to the demographics that's running this joint. So, it's just old white men just fighting for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? To put it down like simply, it's just literally a bunch of old white men trying to continue whatever tradition has benefited them for centuries. And it's like, everybody's fed up with this shit, so just cut the act, let's make a shift, and, everybody can live more collectively rather than just going with this he versus she versus they versus them, you know what I mean? It's just, like you said, Bethany, you're like bipartisan, you believe in people collaborating for a greater solution, but I don't know how it's going to change, because this current system is like the complete opposite of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because we're all
human.
We're humans first.
Yeah.
We're humans first. And speaking of the free world, we're in America. Right. And we have worldwide listeners. I want to bring that to your attention. And we're Americans. We're human and we're Americans. And this country, there are some people about government and don't even vote. So leaders need to think. You're representing everybody, even those that do not vote.
Yeah.
Do the right thing on all levels, local, county, state, and federal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't represent the people. They represent their agendas.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the hard part about it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know about.
When Michael told me about that guy talking about agenda, what were you saying, Josh?
Oh, I was just saying, yeah.
What were you saying?
Like, this is the sad fact is that leaders and politicians are mainly just about their agendas and whatever is going to make this person
right.
the most money or give them the most power.
When Michael told
most,
me about the guy.
Keep going.
Right. I wonder what happens. Like Michael mentioned to me, the gentleman said something about his agenda. I'm like, well, he needs to mind his own business and his own agendas. Sound like he has an agenda.
Yeah. Mm. And you know what? He was supposed to air quotes the Christian, person. And it's just like, and I got to say this. I'm thinking about, I'm not saying what church it is. Josh knows what church it is, but I'm thinking about not attending that church anymore, because it's just like I just see things and feel things that I really don't like. I really don't like. And, so I just think it might be time for me to retire, and a lot of them are more conservative than what I thought. And, there was a time when that church was really good to go to. It was a good.
It was awesome.
Good to have a cookouts and stuff. And, they would go beyond into Laurel and stuff, but it just changed after COVID. And, I'm just really thinking, and I'm more leaning toward not going there anymore because they're not, I don't think they are LGBT friendly. I really don't think so. And,
Word?
Yeah. And some of the
people. It's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah. And so a lot of them people voted for the last man that was in office, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I'm not saying his name, but
freaking troll.
You sound like Whoopi. You sound like Whoopi. What's the McCullough or whatever? You know who?
Yeah, you know who. Yeah. So you know, I'm definitely thinking about it because I only really go there just to serve coffee and you know, and a lot of and I don't know why I'm going into this, but a lot of people are. It just seems I'm not appreciated. You know, so. It's something that's going to be on my mind for the next couple of weeks or so, but, I like to help people. I like to serve people and, you know, see smiles on their faces, obviously. So, but
yeah.
is it really worth it, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, good thing is you can serve anybody anywhere.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't have to be in a church.
So,
honestly, if you feel like you, right.
What was you gonna say, Josh?
I was gonna say if you feel like you're coming out of the situation in a lesser state or a heavier state of being, you know, if you feel more saddened by it than you do gain happiness from it, then I think it's a pretty clear answer of which way you should go.
Like a
friend that brought me coffee this morning, we talked about the importance of choosing peace. You know, when you have to decide, choose peace. And that's something that I like about what I've studied about the Transformation Collective. You teach from within. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking on the podcast the past couple on the last broadcast about how I've been self-reflecting and looking in the mirror, like the Michael Jackson song, Look at the Man in the Mirror. But I love how you share. And look, I'm talking, I said we were going to devote that hour to you on the second part, but you're all about self-care. And that's something that Michael and I talk about, becoming better people. And I like how you talk about it goes deeper than looking into the mirror.
Ooh.
Right, absolutely. Right, you can't just look into the mirror, see what's on the surface, and be like, all right, I'm going
to
change all these superficial things about me, and that's how it's going
to be properly trained.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because it's, you know, even if you reflect on your thoughts, it's still much deeper than that, right? Because out of those thought patterns, you didn't always think like this. You changed, you morphed, you experienced trauma. You've been through certain situations that you felt you had to learn certain things in order to handle the situation. So it's like you also, in a way, go backwards because you're unraveling whatever puzzle your thoughts are trying to basically analyze and make logical to the thinking mind, right? But the emotion doesn't quite flow like that. And it's a matter of taking the two of those in combination with movement. And that's kind of like how I introduced the Qigong, the Tai Chi, and the yoga, because those are pretty much the Eastern practices that basically require that. It's like the fundamentals beneath the movements. The movements are just ways to hold poses and extend the body and, you know, increase energy flow. But ultimately, it's about, you know, that journey from within while you move in the world without.
Wow. So, So, Josh, I want to ask you, tell us about the moment that you decided that this is what inspired you to basically start Transformation Collective?
That's my question, all right, Michael.
So,
that's my question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. But yeah, so I guess.
So yeah, what
really
inspired you more
down
than 15
to
years ago?
I've always, just growing up through the world, by trade, I'm an artist. I've done musical theater since I was 5, but I also do, like, piano, drums, keyboard, sing, compose.
Oh, cool.
So that was, that's my main craft. I didn't really start
getting into... I keep
telling
Michael you guys need to come down here.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Maybe we can do a
live
podcast one day. Like,
And
but
the floor is yours. We're just so excited.
Okay, sorry. All right.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, so single moment. I guess coming up through high school, I had a strong distaste for the world that I had been experiencing. And I had been diagnosed with epilepsy starting in my sophomore year of high school, either that or freshman. And over the years, yeah, I mean, the first one was really weird. I don't think I've told you this, Michael, but I basically began to black out. I was, like, hearing screams and yelling of help. And then at the same time, my vision started to turn red.
Oh,
and
wow.
Seeing, like, fire. Yeah, it was wild. But I just blacked out.
Wow.
And then I woke up because my friend was like shaking me because I was not responsive. And then I snapped to it. I felt like I got ripped back into my body. And then I went to the bathroom and threw up and came back.
Wow.
Ended up going home. Yeah. And then, you know, it just kind of developed from there. And from, I know this seems more of like a mystical experience, but it became a little more physical the older I got. You know, grand mal seizures, foaming at the mouth, I flatlined about 3 times, dislocated my shoulder like 12 times, all from like seizures. So the moment I got into sports and this started happening, I knew I wanted to find a way to make it work because I just love moving all the time. It's where I find a lot of peace and where I can like get out a lot of my energy. But the worse it got, you know, it got harder to move in certain ways. Or extend myself beyond my limits. So I found Qigong, Tai Chi, and yoga while I was in high school, or not high school, in college at HBC, Howard Community College. Ended up studying under a man named David Folk, who's actually my mentor, and I've helped him develop Mind Body Exercise, which is his company that focuses on Qigong and Tai Chi. And once I started to learn that, it helped me basically tame the seizures and tame my senses because I'm very hypersensitive to electronics and false lighting. If I'm in a city, my head's spinning, my ears are ringing, my eyes hurt. Like, I'm just getting anxious because there's so much going on. And sometimes it's, you know, when you're so busy, it's hard
to. I mentioned to Michael that I vibed that you're clairvoyant. And I asked him, did he realize that you're clairvoyant?
I never really thought about that, to be honest. I mean, I definitely feel like the epilepsy thing's a little...
Yeah, and from hearing you you describe that, it sounds like you're clairvoyant, too. Yeah. It sounds like you're clairvoyant. You know things. You just know things. Yeah,
I guess, and, you know, that's kind of, like, attributed to, you know, depression in a way. It's just because, like, from a young age, I've always realized how the world works and how, you know, generally messed up it is. So, and like, you know, adulting into this messed up world and trying to survive in it, but also trying to make a difference at the same time is a struggle. But yeah, I'd say, you know, just a mixture of all that, of experiencing the world and seeing people's sadness and their hurt, but also experiencing my own and kind of wanting to find a better way to move through it and adapt with it. And change it for the better. So that's why I kind of came up with the transformation collectives, right? We internally want to utilize certain tools to better adapt to situations and traumas and maybe move and react in a way that's not going to hurt ourselves and others at the same time, right? We can we can be like water and move around things, or we can try and be a rock that's swimming up river but gets nowhere at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And then once we can do that on an individual level, we can do that on a communal level, and it can just expand out and hopefully like a ripple effect, you know. Mm-hmm. There's going to be different hotspots around the world where this is happening, you know. This is just a consciousness, like evolutionary phase in consciousness, and I'm just kind of always felt it was my duty to be a part of that some way, somehow.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I tried it, and you know, it was very
Michael
helpful
updates
for me.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And months ago, And months ago, Michael told me that you were considering going online, so I cannot wait so I can become one of your online students.
Yeah, so I've got something up right now that allows people to view the services and read about what I'm doing, and then they can book it. But I'm working on a web page that's going to have like a customer hub with all the video content and booking, scheduling, pricing plans, you know. Yeah. It's a long process when you're doing most of it on your own. But
so the program...
Luckily, yeah.
What were you saying?
Yep. No, I was just
so
saying
the program that Michael
has
been experiencing, what is that program called? Because I read about the Primer 14.
Yep, that's the one, the 14-day Primer.
Is that what Michael experienced, or that's a different one?
Yeah, that's the one I'm doing, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one, 14-day Primer. That's basically... It's basically like the surface level of the trilogy. So we'll go first day is four exercises, 20 reps per exercise, five sets of each, and that's it. But each day we add on a new exercise. So you repeat the previous day, add one on the next day, repeat that day, but add one on. And by the end, you'll have about eight exercises, and then it restarts with harder exercises on week two. So we're
and Lord knows they're hard.
Schedule. Yeah, you know, so it's not going to be, like, easy. It's 14 days, but you're starting a transformation of how you move, how you think about movement. And Michael will tell you I pretty much have required journal entries because, you know, if we just go through it, we do it, and we don't ever express the experience. That experience kind of just gets lost in the jumbled memories, and if you want to ensure that it stays in the mind and the body as well as it, you know, as well as it can.
Yeah.
And then the 30-day one's up next, and that one's going to be, that one's like in depth, in depth. And then I've got a 21-day one that's basically the challenger. It's basically the warrior. Mm. The warrior program. So.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the other day
can kids participate?
I did the crab plunk the other day. I was falling.
Oh, yeah,
crab
plunk.
I did it. So
good.
I was like, yes,
good.
I'm so proud of myself. So it just all I had to do was just keep practicing it. But, I'm proud of myself. But I'm going to start doing it tomorrow. So, you know.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and absolutely. You can redo it as many times as you want, you know. So I left enough room to grow for anybody who needs it.
Are stations open for kids, too, for the entire family?
I haven't really developed anything. I mean, yeah, these would be safe for kids to do, absolutely. It could absolutely help in the development structurally, neuromuscularly, neurologically, emotionally. It provide some discipline, some good family bonding time, and maybe, you know, help the kid develop and grow to be more self-aware, especially if they participate in the journal entries and the self-reflections. I think it would be very beneficial for kids.
Oh.
Obviously, probably ages 5 and up.
So that is really good. I really love your concept. Right. I really love your concept, and you know what's the saying that you're welcome. It takes 17 days and 21 days to create habits, new habits, to break bad habits and create new habits. So journaling help us reprogram ourselves, right? Like you mentioned about how sometimes we don't realize that we are not exercising effectively. We might be positioned.
Right.
Totally the opposite than what we need to be to get what we need out of just exercising, and does not include us going in depth into our inner beings. So by journaling, that helps us create that new habit of exercising properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So, Michael, you find that effective? He updates us.
It is very effective. Like I was telling you a couple of weeks ago, when I was doing those exercises, I found myself realizing some of my faults and some of the problems, the issues that I've had for many years. And sometimes I have other people remind me of those issues, and I'm starting to become aware of what my many of my issues could be. And
right.
You know, I think it's definitely helping me to see myself in a realistic light. And it's allowing
right.
me to grow. So
and we've been helping each other see things in a realistic light.
Yeah. And it's this is like the most
people.
Spiritual exercise I've ever like participated in. So I mean, you know, so
right.
I think this is a reminder that exercise is a very spiritual thing. You know? So
yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're sticking to it because
And also, I think I tell the listeners I go, if we have any listeners in Maryland, I go to the Friday night yoga when I can, and that has been like a interesting.
Oh, and please provide the address because Josh usually provides your address at the beginning of the show, so please. Share the address.
Yes.
And listeners, please call in 516-595-8255, 516-595-8255. I'll go in the chat room, too, because we do have chatters pretty often.
Yeah.
So I have the chat room open for those of you that have profiles.
Yeah,
so you're sticking with it, Michael.
Yeah, I am sticking with it.
Yeah, I'm going to get him in on that 30-day one once he's ready to get up to the next level.
Oh, Josh is trying to kill me. He's trying to kill me.
I'm giving you a rebirth process right now.
Let me tell you something, Bethany. I remember one time a couple of years ago, he had me run around the field with no shoes on. I'm like, do you realize?
Oh, my God. My tender feet? My tender feet? That sounds like something Tony Robbins would have a person doing.
Yes, sir.
Did you run around?
Yeah, I did.
Yes,
I did. But I was scared, you know. But cause see, this is the area, like, because this was in Laurel,
that
Maryland.
That definitely would be a challenge for me because I have soft feet. And
And you know, sometimes, and a lot of people in Laurel, Maryland, they're a little bit crazy. I would not walk with bare feet in Laurel, Maryland, or anywhere for that matter. But because you don't know what be in that
field.
So
what does that teach, Josh? Josh, what does that teach, being in touch with the earth?
Yeah, so I would absolutely encourage anybody and everybody, go in the woods if you can't find a nice, like travel down the beaten path already because it's softer. For me personally, I mean, science has shown that there's actual bioelectromagnetic frequencies between yourself and the earth, and that connecting with the earth physically through your feet, hands, and body will actually kind of reset your resonance and your energy waves and your frequencies to more, you know, release more dopamine, reduce the amount of cortisol being produced, so your stress levels are coming down. You're getting all these biochemical reactions from the grass and the dirt and the soil and the minerals. So it's kind of charging your body with this energy that we're naturally supposed to be connected to every single day as human beings, but we're not because we always have shoes or socks or pavement or sidewalks or, you know, wooden floors. So we're not getting any of that connection. That's why it's so easy to be surrounded by people but still feel so alone, because your natural like connection to being a human being is outside. It's not in crowded, dense rooms that are crowded with alcohol.
And I do love nature.
You know
what I mean? Make a good point. When my bare feet touch the ground, like you were saying, dirt and grass, I do feel a sense of freedom.
Yeah. I mean, it brings you right back down.
Like a freak.
You know? It's not. Yeah. Legit, because we don't have to stay within the confines or the imaginary walls of society. You can literally just get up, walk out, and go do something else. That's what I did. That was half the reason that I came up with the Transformation Collective, too. It's just I felt freedom in the world when I just packed up my shit and I left for California. And I was that was it. That's
oh, my God.
Had,
you sound like my friend.
Bouncing around.
And guess what? That's just what my friend did. You know the friend that's been missing?
Yeah.
You seen my post and you see how I sat down last week. She's traveling.
Yeah.
She's traveling.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, she's missing. What have happened to her? I had a feeling.
Oh,
I had hope. Because Michael asked me, what do you think? I said, I think she might be going to her favorite place, but she didn't tell anybody, you know, so she did.
Sound
like she did like you. She just, our last conversation, we talked about, when she surprise visited me, we talked about traveling. And so, you know, wherever you are, if you're listening, Coco, enjoy. You hear our guest.
Coco.
So I don't know if she's coming back or she found a new place somewhere. You packed up and you went to California and.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. So that was actually, that was my life experiment in my 20s, basically.
Right.
So once I was diagnosed epileptic, I was put on certain medications that made me feel sick, nauseous, like massively lethargic.
Right.
I was missing school for weeks. And I really, Western medicine, I don't trust it. I don't like it. It doesn't really work. And it develops so much dependency.
Right.
And there's terrible side effects. So I basically was like, you know what?
Michael would tell you. You took yourself off? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I just took myself off medications
better.
For that year. Yeah. And I was good. I was using the Qigong and Tai Chi.
Last April 3rd. And then what? I'm listening. I'm just like listening to you and letting you know I'm listening. And what?
No, you're good. You're good. I took myself off medications while I was out there, and for the entire year I had no seizures.
Uh-huh.
I had maybe one glitch.
Wow. You know, I was diagnosed
kind of like
with
muscle
high
spasms.
Bethany.
Even my doctor, and my doctor too. I haven't been.
Uh oh, Bethany's breaking up.
Yeah, she's cutting out.
Yeah. So if in case that happens, Josh, I will interview you and we can talk a little bit more. Yeah.
I mean, we can just rock with it till she comes back.
Yeah, sure. Because she always does. I love Bethany. She's like a really amazing. So. So tell us about the time when you decided you wanted to do the yoga that I always come to on every Friday of first Friday of the month. Tell us about that.
Yeah, acoustic movement, man. This was back at the height of like my epileptic episodes.
Okay.
I was working at a yoga.
Direct connect from the Blog Talk Radio software. From the studio directly. So every once in a while, my call's been dropping, but I did not want us to have any technical difficulties, so I direct call directly from the software.
Okay.
But I haven't been on the medicine since August, and my doctor immediately was like, if you feel anything, cannot breathe, have your heart hurt, anything, you know, rush to the ER. But I have felt terrific. And one of my friends told me today, well, you still need to get on your medicine. I'm like you. I don't want to get my body trained to, if I need to be on one, I will. But hopefully when I go to my annual the first week of April, that there's good news. And I really believe that your teachings will help me personally and many listeners. I've recommended many friends and listeners that they need to tune into this episode and listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that.
He's not telling you all to get off your medicine, but he's just saying that there's an effective way of doing things. Even my doctor wrote in his book that he have had patients to do that, that, you know, they would get off their medicine and live a healthier life with proper exercise. So, and from your teaching,
exercise,
it's from within. Cause, yes. And I'm wondering, we've been talking about stressful stories. In your students, do you see that those that really worry about what's going on, not just in their personal and professional lives, but that worry about what's going on globally, do you see where they feel better than continuing than when they first become your students?
Yeah, yeah. So initially, I mean, it's kind of another thing is to train, not train, but give people the tools to better adapt to external and internal situations.
Yes.
Whether or not you can change the external, you can always change, you know, the internal, how you're feeling about it, what you want to do about it. And, you know, for a lot of people, they feel like they want to do something, but they're not disciplined enough to do it. So they just think about it and they get frustrated that nothing's changing, but they're not doing anything to change it, you know. So I'm giving people a place to start with that who feel like change for them is a difficult task to accomplish just with, you know, just off of pure initial intention, you know, because like I said, some people, it's difficult to change. And it's difficult to want to change something that you can't change.
Right.
So you got to focus on what you can, and that's mainly the internal.
And like you mentioned, right, and like you mentioned earlier about the government, and when something's created, and sometimes we have habits that we know the habit's not good, our way of doing things, like exercise, but we don't want to the dude that I learned in elementary school.
Just getting back to the basics, that's all, and then trying to build up from there. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's a hard place to be, and it's very stressful. But,
Josh, before Bethany came in, you were talking about the Friday night yoga. So inform the listeners about, because like I said, it's very possible we may have some listeners in Annapolis or Maryland and the surrounding areas. So tell everybody about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so acoustic movement. Acoustic movement's my little exercise and spiritual baby, I guess. Me and my other friend, Josh, we met at a yoga studio. He's a yoga and qigong instructor. I was working at the front desk, and we were like, oh, we're both named Josh.
I had dropped again, but you can continue.
But I was like, oh, we're both named Josh.
I still like to do exercises like jumping jacks and stretches that I learned in first and second and third grade.
but they might not be
the right exercises, too. But there are some things I still like to do from my childhood. But then you have a good point when you go to Planet Fitness. Because sometimes when I go to Planet Fitness, right, and I still do, no joke, when I wake up in the morning, I still do exercises that I learned in P.E. In elementary. And then you make a good point, because when I'm at Planet Fitness, I work out and with no trainer, and who knows if I'm doing those exercises right or not.
Yeah, that's also another
you know?
Thing. That's basically going through the schooling and the training of it, you kind of see how improperly most people tend to move through certain things. Just because of muscular, like, tensions and a whole bunch of different things that I could get into, but that'll be for one-on-one coaching at some point. But, yeah, Michael, the acoustic movement every Friday, it's at Prana Yoga Studio in Annapolis, Maryland, right off of West Street. Basically, while I packed my stuff up and went to California, I had written an entire album of music while I was out there. And I came back with this music. I kept performing it where I could, open mic nights. I kept writing. And I worked at this yoga studio down the street from where I was living. Met this other yoga teacher, qigong instructor named Josh Craddock. And I was like, oh, we're both named Josh. We get into it. He loves music. And I'm like, dude, I'm a musician. I showed him some of my stuff. He really loved it. And off of that, we actually both found out that we're both Armenian. which was hilarious because he's the only Armenian person in Maryland that I know or have met, besides one other person. And we just kind of developed. I was like, look, I've got
okay,
this
so
music
you're
that I've written.
So you're Armenian, like my one of my favorite families. So you're Armenian, like one of my
favorite families, the Kardashians. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Don't tell me they're your favorite.
I'm not going to say anything about them.
They're one of my favorite.
I love the Kardashians.
No,
I can't. Well, that's a conversation we won't have. I can't. I can't talk about them.
But look, Josh, he hates it when I bring it up. But don't you think...
Yeah, I'm not gonna say nothing about them. I'm just gonna keep it there. If you don't have nothing nice to say, you don't say anything at all.
Hey man, speak your mind 24/7, man. Say, get it off your chest, Michael. Don't hold it in.
No, it's just okay. Forgive me for saying, you know, universe will forgive me, but I think that they are a waste of like TV time. You know, because what the hell? What the hell is she? How did she get famous? What, doing a porn tape?
We can do a talk now.
Yeah.
I bet we do a talk show about the Kardashians. Callers would be calling like crazy.
Good Lord.
Let's talk about the Kardashians.
What the fuck does she do? What the fuck did they do?
Thank you, Michael. He's my internal spirit animal right now. Thank you, good Lord.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm not saying anything.
I should have rated the show.
Michael, you funny.
Duh. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah.
Wow.
That's how I feel about
this.
I mean, no, really, and I got to say this. I think the Kardashians are like the poster child of white privilege. I'm sorry. They are. What the fuck did they do? Nothing.
Yeah.
Their father participated in the OJ trial, and it's just like, I'm just going to let that go.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But really, Armenian is considered a race of color. Am I right, Josh?
We are quite literally Caucasians because Armenia is at the base of the Caucasus Mountains. So I'm quite literally Caucasian. So,
right.
You know, it's also Middle Eastern.
Okay. You got me on that one.
Yeah. Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
that's
it's Russia. Russia, Azerbaijan, Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're pretty much amidst all of that, but just a little more northeast.
Mm.
Right.
Wow.
Ooh, wee.
Yeah.
I stirred you up a little, but I stirred Michael up a lot. The Kanye came out of him.
See, the thing is, I don't like speaking negatively about people. I mean, even though I have to, there are people, you know, I just try not to.
Right.
Because,
but
I mean,
the truth
I don't
is the truth.
Yeah.
But I was
and,
just about to say, if it's a fact, it's a fact. You're not speaking bad about nobody. It's a fact.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's enough.
Right.
Cause let me tell you something. Both of y'all might be surprised, but there's enough people that don't like me, and I'm just going to just, like, I'm not going to give them, you know, power, so I'm just going to just like keep my mouth closed. I'm going to keep my
power
mouth closed.
Only comes from you caring what they think about you.
Yeah.
So
but,
if you don't care what they think about you, you're not really giving them any power.
Yeah, but you know me. I just don't like to speak negatively.
That was my next mention to you. Josh, I'm glad you mentioned that because that was my next mention to you. It seemed like your teachings teach people how to not only about self-care, but self-love, to talk more positive, self-talk. I'm talking about like talking in your head to yourself, more truthful and positive self-talk.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because right, at that
like,
point,
look,
if you know
like Michael
what
says,
you know is true.
Right.
Go ahead.
like Michael said, he would not give up. And Michael's thinking more positive regarding his workouts. And he told me so privately and live on air, effective they are. And he believes in himself more, seemed like from the beginning.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know,
so can you tell us anything about
the
online? Can you tell us anything about the online classes? Because Michael told me that it was an interesting concept. I think that's where you were.
Bethany, I think she broke out again.
Yeah, she got disconnected again.
She'll probably come back.
But yeah, the whole acoustic movement thing. Once I presented him my music, I was like, I just want you to like free flow and do some meditative yoga to this and some qigong, because all the songs were inspired by the journeys I was having while I was on the West Coast, out in the woods. I was sleeping in trees. I had to bike an hour and a half to get the 5-minute modeling call and then bike an hour and a half back. So. Yeah, I was just struggling, but I was out in the world and moving and feeling and unraveling all the, you know, sadness, anger, frustration. It came out in songs mainly. And, you know, he loved the songs and we just developed it. And we, you know, you've been there, what, almost every time for the past, like, few months, 4 months. And I think it hasn't grown exponentially, but it's growing a little bit. And I think it's going to be, you know, continuing to be
what is it called again?
Acoustic movement.
Yes. And when will you introduce it online? Because I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk to my friend. We're going to have a business meeting this week probably. I plan to have – so once I get the website up, I'm going to have, like, different membership tiers – for the Transformation Collective, and part of one of the membership tiers is going to be getting access to the Acoustic Movement Library. So I'll probably record 3 different flows, both about 45 minutes long, different variations of original songs, and they can access it anytime, anywhere, bring it out of the phone. They can just listen if they want to. They can actually move along. But as far as the live classes, that one's might be a little more difficult, just because I don't quite have everything set up, and we're still building a base to invest in equipment so that the sound will be proper. Because I don't want to put it out where I'm in a room where the acoustics of the phone just suck. You know what I mean? I want my voice and my partner's voice to be crystal clear. I want you to be able to put in headphones and hear and feel everything. To a team.
Right.
So I'm a big believer in not just putting out stuff as rapidly as I can, but taking my time to make sure that what I put out is the most accurate, precise, and most efficient use of whatever I'm investing in or whatever I'm creating. So I'll keep y'all tentative on that. So as far as I know, we'll keep it in person for now.
Well, that's good news that you will have the library.
Yeah.
Right, but that is good news.
That'll be
it's not
easier.
Like once you all have the meeting, you would decide on the video library. So that's good news. It would sound like it will happen sooner than later. But the video, will be later. But that's good. We will have online videos that we can check out.
Yeah, exactly.
And when I talk to people, I try to tell as many people to, you know, try to come to Acoustic Movement as well as, you know, introduce them to Transformation Collective. I definitely
because you told me about Acoustic Movement first.
Yeah, because you
told me about Acoustic Movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I try to
knew I would like that because I'm a music.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I try to spread the word out as much as I possibly can. And you're gonna grow from this business, Josh. And it's gonna take you. Yeah. You know, not everything can happen overnight and everything. So okay, with my birthday coming up and everything, and I'm gonna ask ask you, Josh, as for as long as you've known me, what is the craziest memory you have of me?
How much can we disclose?
It can't be too much, but it's just like, I mean, listeners know I'm gay, but, you know,
John, this is no holds barred show. John, this is a no holds barred show. We're grown, and listeners, you know, the kids that's listening, they just listen. I'm sorry I didn't rate it, but it's a no holds barred show, so you tell us the tea.
Man. Yo, Michael, man, the first time you smoked with me, you were out your mind, boy.
Thank you for sharing that first time.
Yeah.
What did he do, Josh? What did he do?
Man, he was just bugging.
What did he do, Josh?
No, I mean, it wasn't like nothing too crazy. I've definitely had people in my life.
You haven't
crazy
told me
stuff,
that,
but,
Michael. That's not like a good experience.
Oh, goodness.
Good time. It was good.
Yeah.
I had to bring him back down to earth.
Oh, goodness.
He's speechless. I can't believe it. Michael speechless. Josh, he's speechless. I can't believe it.
Well, it wasn't like crazy. Michael's not too crazy of a person, so I don't really have like the wild experience with you.
But he seemed like
not
he's
by
shocked
my
that you
wild
shared that moment.
I know,
but
that's what I was
like,
I don't
so
know.
We should be talking more about. We should be look, and we should be talking more about cannabis legalization. Like cannabis, I see.
Oh, girl, please, yes.
But on a serious note, Josh.
I saw something
that you had posted, and I was thinking about this. I was watching The View the other day, and they were talking about jealousy. And the thing was, I saw something that you had posted on Facebook a while ago about jealousy. Whoopi was saying, you know, when we get jealous of other people, right? She said that when we, like, say, for instance, if I have friends and I introduce a friend and they start to connect and everything and, you know, like somebody gets jealous or whatever. So she was saying that, you know, different people get different things from different people. You know, people get different things from different people. Do you agree with that, that statement? And what are your thoughts about people who are jealous or jealousy? You know, what do you think about
What do you mean by getting? Just we're talking about physical material things or like
And that's a topic soon.
Yeah, just basically experiencing it because I saw a status that you had posted and you said that
some people are just jealous of people's personalities. Oh.
Yeah, that too. But I remember you had posted.
You're talking about
on
one
Facebook
of your statuses, Josh.
Yeah, and you said to realize. I think you said attachment or something. I don't know. I don't know if you know what I'm referring to, but you said something, and it was extremely.
I make a lot of posts, so. If it's about attachment, jealousy, definitely. Oh, like the kind of elusive possessiveness that we have about things and people, like we can truly actually own whatever it is, but. We think we own like a person or a relationship or an idea or a physical thing. I mean, I think jealous people are just very possessive.
Are just their perception of a person.
I mean, perception. Well, these are all various different topics that go down very different rabbit holes but connect at some point. Do we want to talk about jealousy and possessiveness, or do we want to talk about perception of people?
Probably the first one.
Yeah, since Michael asked that question.
Yeah, so,
and that's a topic,
that
Michael would, well, that's going to be a topic in the near future. He suggested gossiping, and we talked about gossiping about a month ago, and we went into jealousy. But we're going to discuss jealousy next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to save this conversation for next week?
I don't know what I'm doing.
But no, you discuss it now. You discuss the possessiveness.
Okay.
You discuss the possessiveness. You
because what you said, Josh, was very deep, and it really got me. And I think you said to realize that you own nothing or something like that.
When you realize that you own nothing, everything becomes available to you.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you try to, it's like trying to reach at water. Right. It's trying to reach at water with your bare hand, and all you're ending up doing is pushing it away. So in a way, you're pushing it further from you. Where if you just let it come to you, it'll naturally be if it's supposed to. And if it's not, then it'll naturally go away. And you won't be hurt or suffering because you weren't possessive.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't, like, jealous. You knew that you didn't own the thing or the experience, and it was just something for you to experience or something for you to cherish for a while. You know what I mean? It's just accepting that you own nothing, everything becomes available to you being graceful in its presence. And ultimately, that's kind of all you need to have, like, a solid relationship. And then obviously trust, but that's another aspect of perceptual jealousy.
You know, and you know, because I'll tell you, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I have, like, at the beginning of the year, when this shit began, I was going through a phase where I was like, I'm really, really lonely. I'm really lonely, I'm really sad, and I'm really depressed. But when you put out the, and I don't know, I think, and that's why I agree with Bethany when she said that you might be clairvoyant. When you gave me the program to put on, you know, when you gave me the program, I noticed that I got out of my head a lot, you know. I got out of my head a lot, and I started to realize my external environment, you know. So that was, like I said, that's why I said earlier, that was the most spiritual exercise that I've ever done. And, you know, I really hope that more people can experience that because, you know, I'm just blown away how spiritual it is. And one of the exercises that I am learning and improving on is the gather and push, right? So tell me about how did you come up with that exercise? And where do you get these exercises from? I know you may have said it before, but I didn't kind of hear.
Yeah, so a lot of them are influenced and are combinations of, like, Chinese and basically traditional Chinese medicine through Qigong, Tai Chi, martial arts, and then yoga. So gather and push is not necessarily a specific movement that I learned in Qigong. I don't know the name. I don't know the meridian purpose of it or the medicinal side of it, but I know how it makes me feel and how powerful of a movement I think it is. Especially when you incorporate the breathing technique and the idea of actually moving energy around with your hands when you do this, that's where, like, the more spiritual sense comes in, because you can say, all right, gather and push, right? You can take those two words alone, combine it with the movements and build the intention to gather all the negative energies in your surrounding and push them out or cleanse yourself of them. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So I think that's why it's kind of like subliminally, right? You might be doing that or thinking about that or feeling that similar release because I put it in there for that purpose.
Wow, that's interesting. Wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, also, I didn't say this too, like, sometimes when I be cutting my phone on in the morning, I look at Facebook and I see you, Josh, and then, like, I'm like, well, it's time for me to wake up and start exercising because I told you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays are, like, are crazy days for me. So even though it'd be cold outside and I just want to lay in the bed and I just, like, oh, my God, it's time for me to get up. So, you know, on that portion, I want to thank you for giving me the motivation to work out. And yeah, because let me tell you,
right,
in some mornings I don't feel like waking up, and I just want to lay in
bed
like 7 o'clock.
Right,
like
this morning, it was a cold Mississippi morning. It's supposed to be feeling like spring here, and I'm like, oh my God! So that's amazing that he motivates you to come on. You can do it.
Yeah. Just get up, get out, do something.
Yeah.
You don't have to do something all day.
Yeah, I had told Michael I need to turn on your notifications so I know when you post something. Yes.
Yeah.
I love your
and,
posts.
You know,
Yes.
So is there anything else, you know, that's going on in your life, Josh, that you want to talk about?
You know, we've been praying on your mother, Josh, and one post I love was the post that you shared of your mother. Do you want to elaborate on that post? Because I love the write-up, and I loved it. It was terrific.
Oh,
when
we were running?
And it was awesome. And yes, and it was awesome that you would share such an intimate moment also.
Yeah. I mean, that's my mama. You know, I ain't never.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's been rough, you know. She had a...
And she's so pretty. She's so like pretty, too. Beautiful.
Yeah, she is. She had a pretty brutal breakdown mentally and emotionally. It probably took about a decade to really come to its conclusion where she is now. She has dementia. It's called a severe progressive aphasia. Basically, she's losing...
Yeah.
She lost her ability to speak. She isn't able to really mentally interpret words or what you're saying very well. She stutters a lot.
We've been praying since the holidays.
Yeah. I mean,
she was a former track.
It's the nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a former track star, basically in her high school. And she danced and did drumming all around the world, did U.S. tours for the swing dancing and things of that sort.
Wow. And, you know, it seems to me, Josh, that you're both of your siblings are kind of similar to you. Like, your mom, it seems to me, and I don't really know your mom like that, but it seems like your mom really had you guys being active in sports and because I know your brother's a dancer, and I think your sister runs track, right? Yeah. So, really, I really think, you know, and I got to say, your mom did a really good job raising you guys because you all turned out to be really great people, you know? So, you know, give kudos to mom.
Oh, I'm back.
You know?
But you had mentioned how she was a former athlete and how by exercising with her in that form that it brought back, she still remembered. Amazing how she retained that memory. And that's good that your training is, it reminds people, it brings people back into themselves and to actually, remember how they felt and the things that they do know that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that and music would bring her back. I'd sit out there and play guitar for her for hours, and she'd be back up dancing. I'm sure, like, physically she's not doing what she was able to do, like, 30 years ago, but in her head she's back on the dance floor.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And that's what I told Michael. I when he asked me to pray for her, God showed me to, I said, well, ask him to do things that she loved to do. And so you already was doing it. I had a late aunt and an uncle that had Alzheimer's, but they remembered me. I mean, when I was around my late aunt, sadly she passed away from COVID when they had an outbreak at her nursing home. But my aunt, she had an amazing memory when she was with me, and my uncle, who was a vet, when he seen me, he remembered me. So, but when you, and I guess that's all for all of us, because we there was a time many of us could remember numbers and passwords and so on. So it's all about learning how to retain certain things. But I thought that was amazing how your teachings help people to, you know, to with them, our memories also at all ages. And like you said, especially mama.
yeah, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I was going to say, and yeah, I was telling you, Josh, a couple of years ago that the memory, it changes, you know, and you know, I learned this in psychology classes, that every time you tell a story, it changes.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, really, that's really good that you still have that piece of your past. You share that bond with your mom, you know, I
always will.
That's really amazing. That's really amazing. Yeah.
And everyone has a story too, and people connect to stories. Yeah, because sometimes people ask me names. I am good at remembering names, but I'm like But everybody that have met me can tell you that I know. Just in case I don't remember a name, I know I remember a relative name, a friend, and I remember a story. Most people share stories with me, and I remember the story people share with me. You know, I am good with names, but I remember the story. And when I see people again, I ask them, well, how's your cousin Linda with her new job? Or how's your mom doing? And then sometimes they will look at me like, huh? Did I tell you that? You remember that?
I
remember that because I love stories too. I connect with people that way.
And that's why I keep a journal, because it helps me with my memory. Like, I remember so much, you know, like Bethany was telling me, she has a diary from when I was born, like back in 1986, she remembers what she was doing that day. And so it's like, wow, that's
yeah. And I was happy that day.
Oh, wow. On the first day of spring, you were happy. Yeah.
Everybody's happy on the first day of spring.
Yeah, I know.
That was a good
I'm
day.
A good example. I'm a good example of it. But
regardless of what's going on in your life.
I think sometimes I act like the first day of spring, you know, as crazy as I am or as perky as I am, you know. So, but you know, growing up, you know, people used to, I think, you know, and I think I told you this, Josh, you know, growing up, I was teased because they said I acted like a girl. You know, and it's just like really sad. It's really sad how, you know, I want to do something to help other boys like me, because I know there are a lot of other guys like me. And it's like, I wish I could find a way how I could reach out to those boys, you know, and let them know that they are loved, you know, because, like I said, there are a lot of...
I need to read that article that you told me I need to read from New York Times in preparation for the show about being a boy.
Oh, yes. I mean, you look, no matter what sex you are, it's going to be hard. It is. It is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I'm learning. You know, and it was a time where I looked down on women at one point, and I learned that, you know, women go through so much, you know. They have to bear life, you know, they have to get hit on. Some of them are survivors of sexual assault. And there are many factors as to why they are the way they are. And, you know, and I think women are just so amazing now, you know, because it's like without them, society would turn to, it would turn to shit, basically, you know. Yeah, men are, I mean, I don't want to say men are dumb, but sometimes we just do some dumb shit.
There's different levels of intelligence and consciousness, I feel, between the two. And in the middle, whoever identifies as whatever, you know, there's different intelligence.
Yeah, and it's like, they're like kind of superhuman, you know. Like, I remember once when I was 18 or something, and I took the cab home. And my grandparents were like, they charge you too much for the cab ride home and everything. So I told my mom what happened. So what she did, she found out what cab needed. I was like, Mom, how did you find that out? You know, so the one thing about it is women are really good at investigating things.
Oh, hell
They are really good at investigating.
Yes, sir.
And that's one moment I have to say I was really impressed with my mom, like how she could find stuff out and that's the good thing I can definitely say. But really, women, they're just amazing, and they put up with so much, and you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised that it took this long to have a woman as a vice president, you know, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, we got quite a ways
right.
to go.
Yeah, yeah, and I believe that one day
right.
there's going to be a woman president, you know.
And very so. Few governors, and
very
and,
few.
Yeah, very few female governors, and there are a couple African American black women that are running across the nation for positions like lieutenant governor and governor, I think,
yep.
this year.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah, and
but,
you know this
get,
is National Women's History Month too, as well.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah. So Josh, I wanted to ask you, how's that little puppy doing? I keep calling her a puppy, but how's the little puppy doing?
Puppy. Oh yeah, she's good. She's still maturing.
Oh, I love that puppy. This is like the one thing that's so cute about that puppy is that when you put your hand out to her, she'll give you her paw. I'm like, that is so cute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Taught her to do that one. She was so confused in return. Yeah, but she's smart.
She's
well-mannered. Yeah. Gentle.
So tell us, like, really quick, what is, like, something that she – what are some of her faults that she has? Like, what is something that you want to work on the dog about? Like, what do you want her to work on?
Not pooping in the house.
Oh, no.
That'd probably be,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
I don't
issue.
Know if she's getting sick or, I mean, it's not like intensely she tries to hold it, but sometimes it's the night when we're sleeping and, you know, I'm knocked out, Amanda's knocked out, we can't hear her, and then she just does it.
Oh.
And we wake up, throwing up.
And you smell it.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Oh, wow.
Little pup.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's very rare that some apartments let you have pets, you know, so that's, I'm kind of glad that they are.
Yeah, well, she's my service animal.
Oh.
Although
wow.
She hasn't been trained yet, but we'll probably get to that at some point.
Yeah, she seems like a lovely, lovely puppy, and the one thing I like about her is that she has two colored eyes, you know? But it's just like she may look different, but it's like dogs, it's just like so affectionate, you know, and that's the one thing.
Yeah.
I hope to one day have a puppy or a dog or something because, you know, dogs are more loyal than people. They really are.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, and
that's
and,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But we're really glad to have had you on today. And I just hope that, you know, our listeners can learn or participate in some of your exercises. But if you want to, Josh, could you give them your email or something where they can contact you at?
Yeah. So I guess best way would be probably Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is Samurai Huff, SamuraiHuff. That's my handle on Instagram. And then from my profile, they can, you know, see the Transformation Collective Instagram and click on the the intermittent webpage that I have up. And if they want, they can book consultations or purchase one of the pre-recorded programs. Facebook, the page is called We Are Transformation Co. So that's where they can also book an appointment, hit me up, or see what I'm about and what I'm working on.
Right. And a recap, what are the benefits of Transformation Collective?
Honestly, it's going to vary from person to person, but ultimately you're going to have more cohesive sense of self. You're going to have more available access to your awareness of your surroundings and yourself within your surroundings. So it's just working on overall mind, body, spirit connection.
Sound like you get a lot of good reports from your students. Do you often get good reports when your students come back and say, hey, my doctor told me this or my doctor.
No, I actually haven't gotten to the point where I've had, I haven't actually gotten to the point where I've had someone come back with that response. Not quite yet. I'm working with a few people who I'm going to get in touch with their physicians to have more detailed and more precise programming for them. But there's certain things, you know, people with injuries, they need certain modifications for certain movements or, if they're hypertensive, they can't sit in a specific position for too long. So it'll increase blood pressure, and you know what I mean? So, overall, I feel like I would be able to work well with any person in those kind of situations who would need a medical professional on hand as well.
Oh, wow.
It seemed like one reason why I asked about kids, because their kids are dealing with so much obesity, mental health issues, and it seemed like Transformation Collective can help kids become calm without having to be put on medicines like Ritalin and whatever else that they're – I'm off the –
Yeah, that's some medicine. Weird stuff.
It seemed like that would help calm some kids down where naturally. They don't have to be put on behavioral medicine.
I plan to develop a few more curriculums. Eventually, want to have maybe a little academy. My overall idea is to build sustainable communities. And put up like infrastructure and gyms and hooked up like to the equipment, so the equipment powers the buildings, it's farmland, affordable housing, there's public transportation or like bikes to get everywhere. You know, just something that's a little more common sense and reliable than the current system of living. So that's kind of my idea. Have schools, have academies, have basically entire collective communities to shape a life that they want rather than just having to make the best of this part of my friends with this bullshit that we call life, within society.
I love how down to earth you are.
It's an ego game. Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you this, John.
And it seems like you're teaching people how to be what did you say, Michael?
I said I was going to tell Josh that, and I tell him this always, he is destined for great things, and, he should just keep believing in himself, and, he knows that people support you. People support you. Even if it's like two or three people, that you always will have people that will support you. Just know that. And when you have that and when you believe in yourself, you are unstoppable. Just realize that.
And if you're educating people and teaching people to be healthier and self-aware and to learn how to love ourselves, when we love ourselves, we love each other effectively and more. Unconditionally, not based on, like you were mentioned, possessions and things, but how to genuinely love each other regardless of.
It seems like we learn how to be
our true selves from your teachings also, because be the original self that God created.
I know we're talking a lot, but I had posted a post a couple of weeks ago, should schools teach mindfulness? And I was looking it up on Facebook and I saw something that really ticked me off. So there was this guy who probably watched Fox News or something, he's probably from South Carolina. And the ignorance that he just displayed, he said, people are trying to incorporate Buddhism into our schools. I'm like, what the hell? They're trying to incorporate Buddhism into the schools. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it was somebody from the right, and they saying that, they're trying to wipe out Christianity and all this. I'm like,
whatever.
It got me so mad.
I post a lot of Buddhist sayings and quotes on my page, and one of my favorite athletes, Tiger Woods, is Buddhist. So
I'm actually one too.
Important to be respectful of different. And that's what.
Yeah. It brings peacefulness.
It brings peacefulness. YouTube, I'm always, there's a group of monks that have a YouTube channel, and I am always, I even share their videos on my page where they teach, they basically teach similar to Josh. They teach me how, I mean, monks are just sharing their tips to live in a healthier life, but they teach how to go into yourself and to eat better, mm-hmm. to live better, just have a better yep. daily schedule of life.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, also I think Josh has been telling me what to, you know, what to eat and what not to eat. And I wanted to give him kudos on when you eat the cashews that are not salted. And what I've been doing is
right.
I've been eating like avocado sandwiches for breakfast with multigrain bread. And I definitely think I am definitely losing weight. I am definitely losing weight. I noticed that I can fit in some of my pants a little bit more, and just some of my shirt. I just feel different, you know, and I have more energy.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been losing weight too.
And I've been backing
and
away
saying,
from
Michael?
Sweets. I've been backing away from sweets too because I noticed that.
Right, me too.
When I go and eat a granola ball.
I've been cooking with Splenda.
Yeah, when I eat a granola ball and whatnot, I get anxious. I notice because it's the sugar in it. It's the sugar that makes me feel really anxious.
Right.
You got to be very careful of the amount of intake of sugar.
I left sugar alone a couple of weeks ago. But it's amazing how you can fiend for certain foods. And I was fiending for sugar, but Splenda has been helping me a lot. And you're right. And Josh, I apologize for you to you from the email for the delay, but I apologize for you on the air too for the delay getting the promo to you. But yeah, the past few weeks, Mike and I, we talked about our New Year's resolutions, and we've been becoming better people and resetting a lot. So we talk about how we learn so much from our own perception and from others' perception of our lives. And so I had been adjusting my sleep pattern and also my eating habits. And it's been working, and my work schedule to be effective, to be successful also, like you know, work everything together where everything is in tune. So proper sleep and eating habits and exercise and being focused on our work, on what we do, is very important. Because
we need you in
good health and good mind to teach us. And the same with the things that we do, from studying to work to our personal and professional lives.
So I got one political question for both of you. I'm surprised I never asked you, but what are your feelings about January 6th? Like, what, you know, in
the insurrection?
I just saw something on I was watching The View the other day or CNN where the first guy had got I think he went to prison. He's going to prison for a couple of years. So what were your thoughts about the insurrections? And what were you feeling as that happened? Do you remember?
If that group of people were different color, it would have been a completely different headline.
Oh, yeah.
But I think
and
it was highly
so crazy
orchestrated.
There were
absolutely.
Some people of color. Right, and
there
what was so crazy, there were a few color people of color in the crowd, even females.
Yeah.
There were some people of color in that crowd, and that was shocking to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
It gets pretty deep.
You make a good point, Josh. Right.
Yeah.
What's my question?
Where were you at when that happened, Bethany?
Where were you, Josh?
Honestly, I do not remember. be honest, I really don't remember where I was.
I remember. I think I had been out. Then I come and I had not even been looking at my phone or looking at anything. The day before, I had heard about a little, you know, protesters. But every day we hear something about protesters outside the White House.
Right.
So
right.
I had heard something about a protest, but I figured it was just normal protocol, you know, that some protesters was just going to show up. And I didn't think it was going to be that. And when I walked into the house and I seen the television and I looked at my phone, and when I seen it, it was full blown. It was like crazy. And I shocked. That was the only word that I have. Shocked, and I'm shocked. I just have one word. I was walking into the house from being out handling business, and I seen it, and I'm like, wait a second, I was just gone a couple of hours. I'm like, my mouth dropped, and I was shocked, and I'm still shocked, because that was crazy. Yeah. That was crazy. I couldn't believe my eyes, and then literally they was trying to get to everybody, even Pence, you know, and I'm this is crazy. I'm like literally trying to overthrow the government. So just one word. I don't even have a lot to say, but I was shocked, and I'm still shocked. Like, wow. I was shocked when the protesters regarding racism, you know, destroyed, like, what's the church that the presidents use, St. John? I was shocked when that happened. But I understood, you know, you were what's the church, Michael, that the president utilized?
I don't know. St.
John, the John the Baptist, St. John's Baptist church. The church that the president used. Yeah, and so when the protesters, anti-racism protesters, Black Lives Matters and all destroyed the church, that hit my heart, because I'm a history buff, and I'm like, oh my God! Yeah. Now the racism statues, the Andrew Jacksons and the Robert Lees, take them down, destroy them, do anything. But I'm like, I was shocked when that happened, but I didn't like how Trump used it as a photo op too when that church was destroyed, and he used it as a photo op.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second, that's not enough time to do a photo op, But on January the 6th, I was shocked. I'm still shocked. And I try to follow some of the stories of family members that turned in some of the guys. There's one family where the son turned the dad in, and the mother and the sister, they're pissed at him for turning in their dad, her husband. And,
it was good that he did.
And he said if he had to do it again, he'd do it again. It was like, the mother knew that the dad had gone out. The mother knew had gotten out of hand.
Nah.
And so, but they're all on Nightline talking about how their family is torn apart because the son turned the dad in. But he did the right thing.
Well,
because
the dad decided to do some dumb shit.
Wrong is wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Wrong is wrong.
Yeah,
and the next thing you know, he would have been beating on her butt.
Yeah, and you know, it gets me angry, and I know it gets you angry too, Josh, about people like Candace Owens going around running her mouth about, you know, liberals this, liberals that, and all this stuff, and it's just like, it goes against everything that America, I don't know. It's not regular, because when I grew up, presidents had respect for themselves, but it's more scary to me that there are people who will take up for Trump and the conservative today's conservative ideology, because this is not normal. It really is not normal.
Like I said, I admired him as a businessman, but then you know I found out he did some pretty crooked stuff as a businessman too, but. Yeah. As a president, I thought he was going to be more presidential, but and didn't want his security detail, didn't want to follow any of their instructions. I mean, to be president, that is an honor. That is an honor to be president, so you at least carry yourself in a presidential manner. You know, this is not the business world. It's not corporate America. When you run a country, you are the president. You should
be
yourself, but be respectful to all people. Yeah, be presidential to everybody. to everybody.
Yeah.
Even though you don't understand, that's what president.
Yeah, I really worry.
Most presidents don't understand, though.
Yeah, I worry for the state of
democracy. Right.
The state of democracy.
And Michael, you talk about
yeah,
me.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
I think Josh wants you to elaborate.
You want me
elaborate?
No.
Josh is like elaborate.
You want me to elaborate?
Yeah,
on
the state of democracy.
No, I'm worried about the state of this country. I mean, I know I probably should have been worried before, but I mean, it really worried me that people could think that Trump could be so like good for this country. But then again, it's probably a good thing that he was voted in because he's showing who our neighbors are. He's showing that
we have
a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. And, you know,
And what about people like me that did vote for him? Like, did you forget about us? Never again.
I mean, lost me.
Did you forget about
me when he said that Mexicans are murderers and rapists, and when he was going around making fun of disabled people, you know, that he lost me on that. So, you know, I don't know. Trump is just like a crazy ex-boyfriend at this point, you know.
Oh my God, that is
good.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
You know, I can relate to that. Right, that's a good way. Like, wait a second, a toxic relationship. Like you see one side, then you see the whole another side.
And it's just a wonder, and it gets me wondering why he's not in jail. I mean, because and I don't want to speak too much because I don't want this to come back to haunt me. But it's just like when he said that we're gonna go and march and do all this other stuff, and when he's whipping up people to beat the hell out of people, you know, I just can't.
I'm gonna shout out Liz Cheney. I'm gonna shout out Liz Cheney and Mississippi's own Benny Thompson. Benny Thompson is Mississippi congressman, and I happen to that's a Democrat that I happen to vote for. I consistently vote for him and support him. And a few days ago, Michael, I was contacted by friends of mine with the Republican Party to join the team for his opponent, and I'm like, I haven't told him yet, but anybody that knows me know that I always vote for Benny Thompson. I know I would get paid good money, but I have integrity, and people know I'm a supporter of Benny Thompson, you know, who leads the investigations for January the 6th. I know I get paid good, but I vote for Benny Thompson. I can't campaign for his opponent.
Good.
Right.
Yeah. But the one thing I got to say finally is that the one thing that concerns me about January 6th is that it could have gotten worse. You know, they could have had guns. They could have had guns and start shooting.
Oh, it ain't over yet, Michael.
I know it's not.
Ain't over
I know
yet.
It's not. I know it's not. And you know, I'm glad that
the same thing can happen with that Roe versus Wade. And see, they're going to do there's something going on this summer, I think, when they're going to make a decision. So I feel that way. I feel like something like that can happen again regarding the abortion's right.
It's destined to happen
you're right. It can happen again. It might be a whole nother thing. This was about keeping Trump in office, but the Roe versus Wade and other issues.
But leaving aside politics, the one thing I wanted to go back to really quick is about the Transformation Collective.
We have 10 minutes of let me let you all know how much time we have. We have 10 minutes of live streaming, and then we have like 10 extra minutes. So we have about 20 more minutes. Okay.
So the one thing I like about one of your exercises, Josh, is that the alternative jumping jack. I like that. It almost looked like you're dancing a little bit. And
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Josh, you heard me mention how much I love jumping jacks. I can't wait to see our turn into jumping jacks.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. So where did you learn that from? Tell us, like, how did you learn that, and, you know?
I just improvised it. I basically was looking for a different way for people who have different mobility issues or are looking for a different variation, maybe jump jacks, hurts their knees, ankles, something, or they got neighbors and they got people living beneath them and they don't want to do jumping jacks in their house. Give something more quiet to do,
right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it just eliminates the jump, but it's still explosive. It's still
I needed you when I lived in Texas and the couple above me. I needed you when I lived in Texas and the couple above me. Kept my dog and I awake. Maybe you can.
Oh, God.
I like the curtsy lunge, too. So how is that supposed to benefit the body as well? What is that exercise for?
So it kind of takes you past the point of walking a tightrope. So if you were to do like a really tight lunge or go halfway through a curtsy lunge and stop and then scoot your foot back like you're going through a regular lunge, you'd have a tightrope where your feet are in the same line. So you have minimal balance there. The curtsy lunge takes you further past that optimal balance or that central line of balance to kind of encourage different muscle groups to activate to help stabilize you. So it helps strengthen the hip complex, ankles, knees, activates the core a little bit more, makes you have to focus on your posture because one of the notes in the instructional video is make sure you're not leaning over, make sure you're not tipping that hip out too much or bending the knee in too far out. So, it basically helps, like, shape and strengthen the inner thigh, the abs, the glutes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's definitely what I need. And it's good for balance. And it's perfect. It's perfect for balance, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely need that. Yes.
Let me know. Yeah.
That sounds like something perfect for models too. That's something that models can utilize. I'm a former hair model, and so that is good for models. I know, so I guess that's part of it. I guess that's what influenced you too. Also thinking of posture and and balance.
Yeah, definitely made me think about it a lot more.
Those that believe in chakras, chakras would say it definitely would help get the chakra in line, get the chakras in line.
Yeah, and Josh, I also like the scapular row. I like that. And it was one that I have issue with the balance of it all. Like where it's like you're almost like you're running, but you're standing in place, you know? I can't think of which one that is.
So standing stride.
That's really – that's a little bit hard for me, but the more I'm doing it, you know, I'm improving. And but my favorite ones is the overhead squat. Yeah, the overhead squat. I like that. I like doing that. And the one thing I try not to do is put my butt out too much, because I remember you said you're not supposed to have it out so far or something like that, right?
Right. Further far out you go, the more you lean forward, you don't want to lean forward too much in a squat position until you get really low.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you another one I have issue with, and another one that's really hard, but I'm trying to do it in my own way, is the 4-point rotation.
Rotation? That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a cool exercise to do. I mean, it gets your heart pumping and, you know, it gets you muscles that you haven't really used before, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. I think kids will definitely, if a kid were to do that, they would definitely like that. But I think that I need to do some work on that one, because I don't want to mess around and hurt myself. But I think it's
do it slowly.
My progress is, yeah, my progress is interesting. Now, what I'm learning to do, and my only issues with the yoga poses is that I always stick to the tabletop. I like the tabletop a lot. Yeah, I love that.
Right.
And another one, it's just like I can't do it slowly. That's my problem, is that I try to rush through it. But I think that if I do it slowly, I will definitely improve, you know, because when it comes to yoga, because I see how you stretch, dude. You can stretch yourself like a V.
Yeah.
I can't do that, bro.
Yeah. You'll get there. Just keep doing it. Stick to it.
Yeah, and so, you know, I really want to spend more time on the yoga portion of it. And, you know, I'm really glad that you introduced me to that those exercises. But that the four-point rotation in the gathering pushes, I could definitely see myself progressing on it and stuff. So,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, well, definitely the ones that you feel most connected with, just keep practicing them. And also practice the ones that are the hardest for you.
Oh, and while you're on, Josh, could you – I know you explained to me the last week about that the ending of the yoga, what we did. How you did the Shavasana, could you explain that to some people that might be –
Oh, Shavasana?
Yeah. Explain that up to
Shavasana is basically just a resting pose in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it anywhere. It's not necessarily a specific posture than it is more so like a frame of mind, which is coming back down into your body after a meditative experience. And I mean, this is not clinical yoga that I'm saying, but it's what I've gathered from my experience. But yeah, it's just basically resting the body and soaking in all the changes and the journey that you just went through internally, and helps close you out of the meditation.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much about yoga, because believe it or not, I started doing yoga. I tried it when I was 16, and it kind of faded away, because back in those days, it used to come on Saturday afternoons on Channel 26. And I used to try to do it, but it fell off, but you know, it's kind of funny too, because I think the universe is definitely trying to speak to me, because I have bumped into more than one personal trainer, you know, and I think this is like playtime. Winter and early spring is like playtime for personal trainers. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah, it is. Cause I can't tell you how many guys, well, there was one guy who has muscles. I'm not going to say his name though. And he's friends with me on Facebook, and he tried to get me to be part of his program. I said, you know, bro, I'm good. I mean, you know, only thing I want to look at is your muscles, but you know, so, but yeah, so that's what I definitely noticed. Like around January is when the time when people try to come out and recruit new clients and everything.
It's beach weather, baby. They want to get their beach bodies back on.
Yeah, and that's why I definitely say, you know, the universe has been trying to speak to me. And I noticed, like I said, that now that I've given up sweets, I'm not tired as much, you know. And now that I've given up sweets, I'm not anxious, you know. And because I don't know if you noticed about me, I have a big problem with anxiety. I have a huge problem with it.
Yeah.
And and so, so you know, doing that has definitely helped me to control it. You know, control it. But I do want to put meditation more into my everyday flow, because you know, because sometimes, you know, and I like that little post that you put. You know, you got to be careful of your thoughts. You know, and if you're not careful of your thoughts, they're going to become, you know, your life is going to be all this type of madness and stuff, because, you know, I've heard about that self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. So each prophecy that comes true, I want it to be positive, not negative. So I want to really focus.
Correct.
I want to really truly focus on, what do you call it, meditating.
Yeah, absolutely. That's